You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Well, around 100 members of far-right groups shattered the leisurely January holiday atmosphere in St Kilda in Melbourne, right in front of Luna Park, of all places, to stage the Reclaim St Kilda rally. Now, this event was organised on social media by far-right activist Blair Cottrell, Neil Erickson of the United Patriot Front. These people, Cottrell in particular, has called for in the past for portraits of Adolf Hitler to be placed in Australian classrooms. And he was criminally convicted with Erickson in 2017 for inciting contempt and ridicule of Muslims. Now, at this rally, what was particularly concerning was that several members in the crowd were caught doing neo-Nazi salutes and were making Nazi paraphernalia or displaying it. So, of course, Jewish leaders have joined a legion of Australians and politicians condemning this event. It was attended also by Queensland Senator Fraser Anning. Now, Anning was elected in 2016 as a One Nation Senator. Then he was dumped, first by One Nation and later by Bob Katter's party. Now, he flew on taxpayers' money from Queensland to Melbourne to attend this event. And he posted a video of himself with Cottrell at the rally. Anning infamously used his maiden parliamentary speech last year to call for a final solution, quote, to the immigration problem facing Australia. Reaction to this was very strong. Prime Minister Scott Morrison condemned, quote, the ugly racial protests, and he tweeted, Australia is the most successful migrant country in the world, and this has been shown by showing respect for each other and our laws. He said, I support entirely the views expressed by Acting Prime Minister Michael McCormack, condemning Senator Anning for attending the racist rally in St Kilda and associating himself with extreme and offensive racist views that have no place in our society. Labor leader Bill Shorten also slammed the rally, saying there is no excuse or explanation that justifies Anning's attendance at this rally, and his views have no place in the parliament. Now, for Anning's part, he denied there were neo-Nazis present, despite Nazi salutes and SS helmets seen in the crowd. And he actually described himself as, quote, a supporter of the Jewish community. Treasurer Josh Frydenberg, who is Jewish, called the Nazi salutes at the rally abhorrent and Anning's appearance at the rally unacceptable. He said Australians died fighting fascism and Nazis, and those views should be confined to the dustbin of history. And finally, Executive Council of Australian Jewry co-CEO Peter Wertheim said, whatever problems there may be in Melbourne with gang violence, they're not going to be addressed by displays of the Nazi swastika or Hitler salute. These are matters that need to be addressed, he said, by government and all its resources, and not by a motley collection of neo-Nazis led by a pair of convicted criminals.
We are talking to Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News, and you are listening to SBS Radio broadcasting around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, last week we spoke about the Sydney Beit Din, the rabbinical court in Sydney. They lost a civil case in the courts here to Reuven Baruch, a businessman that sued them, that took them to court, and took the rabbis of the Sydney Beit Din to court, and they lost the case. I know an appeal is pending still, but Australian Jewish News is actually having an interview this week with Reuven Baruch, trying to explain what happened. Can you share it with us, please?
Yes, we have a full page dedicated to that. We're given the opportunity for Reuven Baruch to share his thoughts about the case and views about what happened and what should happen in the future. It's interesting reading. I'll just give you a bit of a nutshell on it. He says he does acknowledge in court that the Beit Din had jurisdiction over purely religious matters such as marriage, divorce, versions, and he doesn't object in principle to the Beit Din threatening religious sanction in such religious matters. But he argues what the Sydney Beit Din did in his case, however, was to make such threats towards him as a director and shareholder of a private company in a purely commercial dispute. He says that these threats sought to prevent a private company from having a potential dispute adjudicated in what, in his view, is the only forum where the dispute is justiciable, and namely the civil courts, not the Sydney Beth Din. And he says, in order to ensure that the Sydney Beth Din functions in line with the reasonable expectations of the Jewish community, he is calling for urgent reform to occur whereby the rabbis of the Sydney Beth Din are made accountable for their actions, are selected by the community, and report to a body who truly represents the entire Orthodox Jewish community. We also have a page, adjoining page, where Ian Waller, who is a Queen's Counsel practicing at the Victorian Bar, shares his thoughts on the wider picture on both sides of the argument, and that's also interesting reading to provide some context. And looking at this fine balance between religious and civil law matters.
It is interesting because, as I mentioned last week, in Israel, the civil court is the court for everything, and the rabbinical court in Israel is only for family matters. And you are listening to SBS Radio, broadcasting around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Shane, I find it interesting that Stephen Chipkin, the president of the JCA, is talking about the Moriah debate from the JCA perspective. What does he have to say?
Yes, so our listeners might recall that there was a Moriah former student who wanted his son to attend Moriah in the future, and Moriah has a policy that all its students must be regarded as Jewish from a halachic viewpoint. This gentleman's son would not fall in that category.
The reason is the mother was converted. The mother converted with the Reform Synagogue.
Yes, yes. So that's been a big talking point. The JCA, of course, is a major funder of Moriah College. So in this piece, Stephen Chipkin, JCA president, he argues that some people may not like the position, Moriah's position or Moriah's policy. They might want to wish to advocate for change. That's their right. But he says that that does not alter the simple fact that Moriah has the right to choose its own ethos, philosophy, and admission criteria. He did say that JCA has been asked to explain in the last week or two a lot why it supports Moriah when some consider that its admissions policy is perhaps, quote, discriminatory or divisive in their opinion or damaging to the community interest. Now, he says that JCA supports and respects the full spectrum of Jewish diversity within the community and that the different streams of Judaism express themselves and that each has a place. He says there are some donors who refuse to donate to JCA because money is then allocated to Moriah. He said that's a pity because Moriah does more for the community than many think, and that for every $100 donated, approximately $8 goes to help Moriah parents in need or Moriah children with special needs. He says every sphere of Judaism in Australia should be able to, you know, conduct their own policies, and Moriah is no different.
Shane Dziatnik, senior journalist of the Australian Jewish News, thank you so much, and have a great week and enjoy the summer holidays.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.